catch it.
Thank you.
One more.
That's a lot of
homework. So it may not look like I move very well. Actually, I kind of don't. But I like to move around, so we'll just do this. So, Dave, again, awesome job. Thank you for, especially for everything. From my perspective, especially the last 5 minutes, that's outstanding. So, I am, among some things, a poet and a writer. And tonight I wanted to give you a piece from a series called Life as I Have Known It, a piece called Scars. My name's Fox. Over the course of time, there have been some very interesting interpretations of my name. It's spelled F-O-X, okay? About 16, 17 years ago, I coached a college baseball team in North Carolina with my good friend Stuart Lake. And before games, I would go to a local little inlet pond to read, just to relax and sort of refresh and decompress. And Stuart and I were living with a house mother in her mid-70s at the time named Mama Ruth. Again, my name's Fox. So one day, Stuart got home. Ruth was there. I was not. I was at the beach, right? And Stuart asked Ruth, "Where is he?" And Ruth said, "Frog is at the beach." She called me Frog. Again, F-O-X. So I have this habit of, whenever I order something over the phone, "Name, please, Fox, F-O-X, like the animal," every single time. I've got to say Fox, F-O-X, like the animal. You'll understand that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So one night I called for pizza. "Name, sir?" "Fox, F-O-X, like the animal." Just like that, I get the pizza box back.
Oh, no.
And F-O-C-K-S is spelled on the pizza box. Who has a name in my guess? Me. I know what you're thinking. It hasn't gotten that far yet. So, a man showed up as Fox, F-O-X, is going to tell his story called Scars. Are you ready? Here we go. It's 6 a.m. The alarm clock on my iPad mini goes off. While I am grateful for this gift from my Somerset Patriot family, I know the iPad's alarm clock, it's not its primary intended use, so obviously I want to punch it. I don't. What do? I hit snooze twice in the next 10 minutes, and then I hear Coach Tanner's voice in my head. "Boy, off your ass and on your feet. Gotta get up so we can eat." I watch, and I begin to put my right leg on the ground. As I do this, I see a scar going down to my right hip. It's also on my left hip. It's product of 1984 and 1988 hip osteotomy surgery, which my surgeon inserted metal rods in both my hips, breaking the bones in my hips, turning them out, all in the effort that I walk less knock-kneed. Well, I put my left foot on the ground, and the first thing that happens is my knees kiss together. I look down and say, "Boy, you could be a really good prom date." Captive of my body, this thing has got me. Sitting here in this chair, so begins the unfair. Thought so by some, blind, deaf, and dumb. Did he hear that sound? How is he getting around? Listen, my crossed eyes gave me x-ray vision in disguise. From my first ectomy to my last otomy, my scars are my gift. I begin to walk to the bathroom to shower. I pick my feet up, just high enough up off the ground, not to trip and fall flat on my face. Every step carries with it a memory. This time, it's 2 days post-hamstring transfer surgery in 1990. My surgeon, Dr. Roy M. Nuzzo, walks into the room wearing dressed in plaid from head to toe, and he's doing all these weird coordination exercises like patting his head, rubbing his stomach. Let's do that now. See if you can pat your head, rub your stomach.
I can't do that.
Imagine trying to do this when your body is totally sliced up and you're having muscle spasms so bad that you feel like you're being bounced off your bed into the ceiling. He says, "Fox, how are you doing? Good?" I have never told a bigger lie in my life. And I said, yeah, Doc, I'm doing great. I climb into the shower. And as I do this, I hold on to things more than gently because I've had a lot of tumbles in my life and I want to keep my teeth. I bathe. I see all my scars, and each one carries with it a memory. Heel cord extension, hamstring transfer, testicle removal, chest tube. I towel off and get out of the shower. Again, holding on to things more than gently because I want to keep my teeth. I groom myself, and the last thing I do is put contact lenses into my eyes. And I am reminded when I do this that I cannot focus on a single object with both eyes at the same time. Being cross-eyed at birth, and many accidents in between. So as an example, buddy, I'm looking at you. What eye is focused on you right now? Left or right?
Right.
Now which one?
What?
Now which one?
Right.
I can see you and Dave right now. Dave, raise your right hand. Dave. Both Daves.
Both Dave,
Greco.
Wow, that wine.
I step back in the mirror and I say, it's 6:30 in the a.m. and Susan's become my friend. Soon I see myself in the mirror. He looks back at me and he says, have you done all you can do? And are you ready for what is to come? Are you thankful for all you have been given, as with Sage and Son? Do you realize the responsibility that comes with the pleasure of success? You must be a man of integrity to always be at your best. No matter there are no cameras and that you're alone under this roof, I can hide sometimes from the outside world, but that mirror always tells the truth. I walk into my bedroom to get dressed. I pick my feet up. How high? Just high enough so I don't trip and fall flat on my face. Each step carries with it a memory. This time it's 1988, 2 days post-hamstring, post-hip surgery. My legs are not casted yet. They're wrapped. They're broken. They're sliced. And Doc says, Fox, it's time to put weight on your feet. With my dad holding me from behind, I take my first steps post-surgery. And while it's very hard to describe the pain that came with each step, it is impossible to describe the euphoria of being able to walk again. I get dressed. As a general rule, this takes me 4 times as long as it does for the average bear. No big deal. The hardest part, however, is putting on and tying my shoes. I do this with my left foot, with hardly any problems. The right foot is much harder. I turn to my right, and I can see my neighbor in the parking lot bend down and tie his shoe in 2 seconds flat. I think to myself, screw you, dude. I turn to my left. I can picture my mother telling me as a kindergartner, Fox, you have CP, you just walk funny, that's it, get over it. Blunt to the point, but she has a point. I can't help but think in this moment the millions of people in this world that have been harder than me for millions of reasons. Take Andre, for instance. Andre was my roommate in rehab. At 21 years old, Andre was given a motorcycle for his birthday. Shortly thereafter, he took it for a spin. He skidded out. First thing he hit was his head. Andre stood there as my roommate without any access to his long-term or short-term memory and was prone to violent and profane mood swings, most of them directed toward his mother. So one day, Mom would walk in and he'd be all lovey-dovey, kissing on her and hugging on her the entire day. The next day, he'd ask me, who's that bitch trying to enter the room? There was Jerry, at 16 years old, in the middle of the day while living in Manhattan. He went out on his bike to get groceries for his mother when he was hit by a drunk cab driver. Jerry also had no access to his long-term or short-term memory and was prone to violent and profane mood swings. So looking at myself, sure, I could tie my shoe. I do this. I stand up, my knees kiss together. I look straight ahead at the wall. And I think of how many times during this day ahead, the perception of me is going to get mixed with the actual reality. I'm in seventh grade in PE class. The entire class is timed running around the track. A classmate in the locker room is going around comparing his times with ours. He gets to me. I begin to say my time. He says, "Fox, you don't count." In this moment, I stand up and I say, "Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I am defiant. What you see is so far from true because I'm a mental giant. I'm frail, built like and nicknamed Scarecrow. Inside, what a lot do not know. I have been broken and welded so many times, I can't tell you this, no matter how hard I try. Misjudged book and misread cover, I'll tell you what lies under. My toes are curled, my body wants to go fetal because in my life, I've seen so many needles. I pick up my legs to run, you know, like kids do for fun. But careful, because every step can lead to a tumble. This I can't forget. In front of my face, my eyes, specs for years they can't disguise. My pupils are never in sync, no matter how hard I try and think. But don't tell me what I can and cannot do. To my image, I am defiant. What you see is so far from true because I'm a mental giant. I walk out the door. I pick my feet up just high up above the ground. And I'll trip and fall flat on my face, and each step carries with it a memory. This time, it's the sound a morphine machine makes, injecting morphine goodness into my sliced body after a surgery. I walk out the door, and the first thing I have to do to get to my car and my garage is go down a flight of stairs that I freaking hate. CP does not make this easy. But again, I can't help but think about the millions of people in this world that are harder than me for millions of reasons. Take Reggie, for instance. Reggie, as my roommate, 14 years old, while living in Newark, New Jersey, steals a car. And he drove it into a telephone pole. He's paralyzed from the waist down. There was Michael. At 15 years old, Michael walked into his parents' bedroom and said, "Mom and Dad, I have a headache." Michael had a brain aneurysm. So he lied in front of me as my roommate, 15 years old, in a coma, in a diaper, unable to move, unable to talk. So I think we can get down these stairs. I do this. I get into my car. Right leg first, then left. I back out of my garage. Somewhere along my drive to work, I make a left-hand turn. And when I do this, a white baseball falls out of a glove in my trunk and begins to bounce around. I think about all the places that little white ball has taken me. And I am so glad that throwing a baseball has got nothing to do with how quickly I get dressed. Thousands of hours of playing baseball in a backyard with my friends and my siblings and my family. Thousands of hours of throwing a ball up in the air, off the school, at a beach, on a street somewhere. Over 100 innings pitched in high school. Somehow, in some way, that baseball on my left arm got me to Yankee Stadium in 1997, where I threw out the ceremony of the first pitch to a game. Somehow, in some way, my left arm, that little white baseball, got me to the University of South Carolina, where in 2000 and 2002 we were SEC champions. In 2002, we made an appearance at the College World Series. Somehow, in some way, my left arm, that little white baseball, has got me to be the bench coach for the Somerset Patriots, where in 2008, 9, and 15, we were Atlantic League champions. So you know what? Good evening, Arena, sold out with doubters. I stand before you completely empowered. I am so excited to hear the volume of deafening silence coming from this room. You have the bat and I have the ball. Double or nothing once and for all. This battle, it wasn't close. You thought me a loser. You misdiagnosed. What's that? Can't talk. Diagnosis lockjaw. I pull into the parking lot at work. My mind drifts off. I imagine myself sitting on a beach somewhere. And I have to get up. And it's not because the alarm clock on my iPad mini went off. No, I have to go pee. I look behind myself. I see my parents' beach condo about a quarter mile away. I look in front of me. I see the ocean. Feet within my grasp. I stand up, my knees kiss together, and I say, "Shoot, the whole world's a bathroom." That was a joke. But actually happened. Anybody here actually pee in a pool in the ocean? Who's lying about that?
Wow. What the?
You're honest. Be honest.
I pull in. I get out of my car. Left leg first, then right. I walk toward the school building. Each step carries with it a memory. Could you please say the word step between each line? You are idle no more. Pick yourself up off the floor. Get up out of your seat. You will not lie there in defeat. In mind and body, a winning tranquility. Without movement, there is no possibility. Each pace equals a seed. And the world's largest sequoia tree, one by one, down mass, chlorophyll passes down victory path. I approach the entrance of the school, and I see myself in the door's reflection, and I am amazed that no matter how old I get, I'm 5'8" tall, and I have never, ever bought a pair of pants that actually fit me. I open the door for a couple of female colleagues, and I'm amazed at the amount of bags they are carrying. Because me, walking without anything is a conscious act of will. And I know the less I have, the more worry-free I am. I enter the school building, and negative aspects of my high school experience ring in my head. I hear things like, crippled creep, and you don't look like a senior. I see so many kids trying to be cool. And I know in this moment that my main job, regardless of what curriculum I'm ordered to teach, is to make these kids realize that from the moment they were conceived, they were designed to be different. So why on earth would you try to act like somebody you're not? I approach the auditorium. I look in it. You see, it was a place where in the seventh grade, I fell down chasing a girl I had a crush on. I look at my hands, and I think of my therapists, Kathy, Debbie, Jose, Mrs. Schumper, Teddy. They were geniuses. You see, they knew that me, a kid growing up with CP, I was going to fall every single day of my life. It was inevitable. But 99.9% of my falls were forward. So they forced me to practice falling and putting my hands out first. Over the years, my hands have been there. In 1997, when I threw out the ceremonial first pitch to a Yankees game, I fell on the top step of the dugout, and my hands were there. During the player introductions of the 2002 College World Series, you bet, I fell, and my hands were there. I look at my hands, and I realize that my life has not been about not trying to fall every day. It's been about always trying to get back up, and that my life has been less about pain and more about beauty. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.